as Gospel 93.5 FM. If you're not in the area, there are a couple of ways that you can listen to that as well. If you're a subscriber to Sirius XM, you can get that on Family Talk Channel 131. That's Family Talk Channel 131 on Sirius XM. And you can also go to BibleCrossfire.com. And this is a call-in radio program hosted by Patrick Donahue. Patrick does a great job in hosting that program, and you are able to call in and ask any Bible questions or make any comments that you might have on the program. Also, we need to remember our daily radio program, which airs each weekday, Monday through Saturday, at 11:15. This is aired on the local radio stations, WBSA 1300, as well as 93.5 FM. If you're not able to get those radio stations, you can listen to that each day via our website at eastalbertville.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to your podcast app and just enter in the search bar East Albertville, East Albertville Church of Christ, or East Albertville, What the Bible Says, and that should bring up that podcast for you to listen to. We'd also like to invite you to come back Wednesday night to the same channel, and Brother E.R. Hall will be presenting a lesson on Wednesday night. He will be continuing his study on answering the religious errors of our family and friends, and the lesson that we will continue on Wednesday night will be answering the question, Jesus was just a man. And so this is the outline of that lesson. And I will try to get that posted on our website so that you can access that before the Bible study starts on Wednesday night. So join us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and Brother E.R. Hall will be presenting that lesson. If you'd like an outline for our lesson tonight, there's a couple of ways that you can get that. I do have that posted in the comments section of the video. You can also go to our website, eastalbertville.org, and go to the live feed page. And there are links there where you can download that either in PDF or Word format. So that's eastalbertville.org. As we said, we're beginning or continuing our study tonight in Romans chapter 6. Romans is a very meaty book, I guess we could say. When we think about the milk and the meat of the Scriptures, Romans definitely is one of the weightier books in the New Testament. And if we're not careful, we will lose sight of the big picture. And so what we have been doing throughout our study is just doing an overview of the chapters that we have studied so far as we go and we progress through our study of the book of Romans. In chapter 1, we were looking at God's power to save, as well as the unrighteousness of the Gentiles. And so Paul here was speaking about how that the Gentiles were sinners and that they needed salvation. In chapter 2, he then goes on to speak of the Jews. The Jews were in the same situation the Gentiles were in that they needed saving as well. They were sinners also. In chapter 3, he was kind of wrapping all of this up and talking about how all are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short. But by faith in Christ, we all can be made righteous. And that's an important point there. In chapter 4, we were looking at Abraham's faith, and he was using Abraham as an example of the type of faith that we should have. And as we look at Abraham's faith and as we investigate his type of faith, we see that Abraham's faith was one of action, that Abraham took action and he obeyed God, all the commandments that God had given him. Abraham was very diligent in performing those commands, and so we have Abraham's faith as an example for us today. In chapter 5, we were looking at the blessings of justification. And there are many blessings of justification. And once we are justified, once we have reached that point where we have been forgiven from our sins and we are in this situation where we are justified and God looks at us as being justified, then there are some very great blessings in that situation there. Also, we were comparing Christ with Adam and seeing how that Christ was greater than Adam. In chapter 6, we began our study there last week, And we were looking at how that we are all, that we should be slaves of righteousness. And we discussed many things as far as sin and the sin's role in our life and how that we should be putting off the old man of sin. And we are going to continue with that study this evening. But before we do, I'd like to kind of review some of the things that we discussed last week. This is going to be more, I guess, a little bit more of an in-depth review than what we would usually give, just in case there are some listening or watching that were not present at our Bible study last week. Paul begins the chapter 6 by asking the question, well, why not sin so that God's grace may abound? As we concluded chapter 5, he was speaking of how great the grace of God is and all the things that the grace of God could do for us. And so maybe a natural reaction to that would be asking the question, well, if God's grace is so great, why can we not just sin all the more? That way God's grace would just be everywhere. It would be making God's grace abound. And he answers that question in the first two verses of chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? And so we see Paul's answer to the question, certainly not. He was very emphatic in his answer to that question. And then he then goes on throughout the rest of the chapter to give four main reasons why we should not continue in sin. This first reason was that this way of life of living in sin is impossible to someone who is dead to sin. If we are dead to sin, we no longer live in sin. If a slave dies, he is no longer in the service to his masters. And so we were once slaves to sin. A Christian once dead to sin is no longer in the service of our old master. And so we leave the service of that master of sin. Christ didn't die so that we could continue to live this sinful existence. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And so we have died to sin, and now we live for righteousness. And so Christ did not die so that we could continue to live a sinful existence. We are to be crucified with Christ in baptism. And we discussed that in depth last week, how that baptism is important. Baptism is necessary. Baptism is where we come in contact with that blood that therefore puts us in that situation where we are justified. And it's very important and something that we should not overlook. And once we are baptized, then we can now walk in the newness of life. We look back in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And then we see that we are no longer slaves of sin. As we continue reading there in Romans chapter 6, in verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The very purpose of our dying in baptism is so that we can be free from sin. Not to allow us to continue to live in sin, but we want to be free from sin. We no longer want sin to have dominion over us. And we are going to be looking at that more in depth as we study this evening. We can now live for Christ. Once we are dead to sin, we can now live for Christ. If we go back to Romans chapter 6 and begin reading there in verse 8, it says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so, this idea of being alive to Christ brings Paul to his next point. The first reason why we no longer sin is that we are dead to sin. The next reason that Paul is going to give that we are no longer to live in sin is that we are alive to God. This is why we no longer live in sin. We are alive to God. And so as we go back to Romans chapter 6, we will continue reading there in verse 11. It says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we are dead to sin, yet alive to God. Sin no longer has reign over us. It does not have reign over us. As we continue reading there in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust." And so we have this choice of whether or not we are going to allow sin to reign within our body. This is a choice that you and I each make. It's not something that's forced on us. It's not something that we inherit from Adam. It's not something that we inherit from our parents. This is a choice that you and I make, to allow sin to either reign within us or to allow it or not allow it to reign within us. So we have that choice. And by making that choice, our bodies can now be instruments of righteousness. And so as we continue reading again there in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, it says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And so our goal is to now be instruments of righteousness. We no longer want to be instruments of Satan, instruments of sin. We want to be instruments of righteousness. We see that God's grace then frees us from sin's dominion. In verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So this freedom does not give us a license to sin. This grace, this freedom is not a license to sin. On the contrary, Paul's third reason why we should not be slaves to sin is that we are now slaves to righteousness. We are slaves of righteousness. If we look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." So can we sin so that grace may abound? No. Why? Because we are now to be slaves of righteousness. How can we be slaves of righteousness if we continue to sin? It's impossible for us to do that. We see that we are slaves of whatever we obey. Romans chapter 6 there again in verses 15 and 16. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not." So here again, he kind of reiterates that question that he first asked in verse 1. You know, shall we sin because we are under law or not under law but under grace? Certainly not. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" And so what we see is that grace does not give us an excuse to sin. Certainly we're under grace. God's grace is powerful. We need God's grace. But this grace does not give us an excuse to sin. By saying we are no longer under law, Paul is not implying that we live in sin. There are still obligations that must be met and commands that we must keep. It's not a license to sin. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So any liberty that we may have under God's grace is not to be used as an opportunity to sin. We are to use that liberty as an opportunity to serve God. You look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." So God is the source of all righteousness. Being a bondservant of God is basically the same thing as being a slave of righteousness. It's the same thing. And so we can't use any liberty, any grace that we might have in order to serve sin. In order to use that as a liberty, you know, this liberty as a cloak for vice. We are to be using that to serve God. We are to be using that for righteous things. Sin does not cause grace to abound, nor does it magnify the righteousness of God, as we have seen in earlier studies. A proper understanding of God's grace will cause the true believer to abhor sin. You know, if we truly understand God's grace, we are going to want nothing to do with sin. We are going to want to be as far from sin as we possibly can. So our choice is to either be slaves of sin or slaves of righteousness. And as we said earlier, that's a choice that you and I each make for ourselves. If we continue in sin, we will once again become a slave of sin. John 8 and verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And so if we go about committing sins and we are just presenting ourselves as to sin as its slave. And so we don't want to be a slave of sin. Our sin, as we said, is not inherited. It's not something that we can't keep from doing.